We have a little technical problem here this morning. Our tripod broke. And so we're just hanging here by a thread. So we'll see what the Lord does with this and where he takes it. But we're glad to see you here this morning. If you're listening to us on Facebook or watching us on Facebook, we're glad to see you this morning. If you're outside, you can listen outside on the north parking lot. You can listen to our service on 88.5. The closer to the building you get, the better reception you get. But you can come to church, hear it, and stay in your car and not have to come in. And it's on 88.5 on your, that is FM, isn't it, Paul? It's an FM. Okay. We are back in church. We had Sunday school this morning. We are practicing the safe social distancing. We invite you to come back and come and worship with us. If you can't, we understand. And if you're in that group that is not supposed to be getting out, stay home. You can watch us on Facebook. You can listen to us. So, you know, just stay safe and take care of yourself. We're going to have our regular services this week, Wednesday night. We will have prayer meeting at 6 o'clock in the chapel. Everybody's welcome again. We're so spaced out. It's one of those things we're sitting around the tables, but far enough away. So, we basically want you to come and be a part of the prayer meeting, but we're also taking care of the social distancing. We will have the Lord's Supper at the end of the service today. If you're at home, you can participate with us in doing that. We will have a deacons meeting this Saturday, 8 o'clock. For deacons, and we will be talking, one of the things we'll be talking about is the continuation of how we're going to do things and continue on in our services and everything. Did I forget any other announcements? Life groups here, 9:30. Next week, John will be teaching. John, you have a lesson plan yet, John, or what you're going to talk about?
We do.
Angels. We're going to be talking about angels. Okay? He's married to one, so he ought to be an authority on it. Okay? And then we do need some other teachers as we continue on this way. If you would like to teach Sunday morning, not this week, but the following week coming up after John, we need volunteers. So if you want to come and help us out, teach the lesson, we would appreciate you coming out. Otherwise, you're going to have to put up with Jerry again. So look at the volunteers. So that's all. We also want to remember Vanessa. Vanessa's not here today. She is sick. She's having a problem. Nora is going to be leading our music this morning. So remember Vanessa in prayer as we pray this morning. And so right now I want you all to stand up and welcome each other. Turn around and wave. Say hello, hello. Say we're glad to see you this morning. No hugging. Okay, so.
Hi, how are you?
And Nora, will you come?
Good to meet you.
Huh?
Oh, okay.
Okay.
For church and for the basketball program.
Okay, I don't mind. Okay, we have another. We have another special request for prayer. I don't know how many of you know about the work that Dennis is doing relative to our basketball and everything. But we are having basketball practice here. You can't hear me? Oh, okay. We want to remember Dennis. Dennis has done a lot of work getting these basketball teams in here. And we're renting out the gym. The gym is being used to reach the people in the neighborhood so that we can use it as an outreach tool. So we want to remember Dennis. And when you see him, I don't see him right now. I saw him earlier. Did he still hurting? Okay. All righty. So remember Dennis. And again, let's remember Vanessa as she is sick. Let's go to the Lord in prayer real quick. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you again. Lord, we just want to praise your name. We are very, very thankful for all that you do for us. And we just want to thank you for that. This morning we have a couple of requests that Dennis and for Vanessa. Lord, you are the great healer. These people have worked in the church and gone overboard, over and above what they needed to do the things you called them to do. And Lord, we just ask that you put a special blessing on them and be with them this morning. And again, we just want to thank you for this time that we have together. And again, praise you. We want to praise you and glorify you. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you all for standing up. Ready.
Here I spin in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for him he died on Calvary. Mercy that was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. Then my burden so was liberty at Calvary. Oh, the love that draws salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought us through to men. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace for free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. Then my burden so found liberty at Calvary. Mercy there where the grace is free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. Then my burden so found liberty at Calvary. Mercy there was grace and mercy free. All is made and multiplied to me. Then my burden so found liberty at Calvary. Mercy where my grace and liver free. All their land and death and lives to be.
Sorry about that. I messed that one up. Greater than our sins. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord. Grace that exceeds in sin as our guilt. One there was the lamb.
sins.
Let us break bread together. Is that what's next, or we do it, or is it the, oh, yours? Anne is going to be doing the scripture reading today.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Our scripture today is from John 6, 53 through 59. Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So the one who feeds on me will live because of him. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever eats the bread will live forever." He said this while teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. Thank you very much. I'm glad to see everybody, and I hope you have a wonderful day today.
Let's continue to praise God, please.
You may be seated, of course. Good morning. Thank you so much, Nora and ladies, for leading us in worship. This is the Lord's Supper. This has been quite a day for us. When I started to print my sermon on my printer, it wouldn't print. That's why we were a few minutes later than usual, but 2 minutes before we were supposed to be here. I want to make that clear to Steve. Okay. Learned a lesson. Preach your sermon on Saturday. Amen. John, will you come up here just a minute? Would you get that microphone? I heard that John has a wonderful voice, and I thought he could lead us, could sing Amazing Grace for us. to sing Amazing Grace?
The green light is showing. Was.
Try again.
Let's hear it.
Okay, come stand close to me.
Okay.
We want social distance. Talk right here. Share with us.
I know he's going to do it. Okay. Thank goodness.
I was changing my mind about the Amazing Grace, okay?
Very good.
Share with us where the search team is today,
yes,
please.
Be glad to. We have interviewed two people, actually. One has said no. The other, we are getting very close. We've got one more meeting with him. And the first meeting, I thought, went very well. His spiritual count, I guess is one way to say it, very good. He wants to be in the church, and we're looking at it, and he is accepting it as part-time. There's another name for it, but okay. And certainly as the church would grow, he would be acceptable to come full-time if that's the way it works out, and that's what God wants. He is very God-driven, and we need that. Now, is that better? There we go.
No, you come here in front of the mic. Come here.
So like I say, he wants to do what God wants. He wants to see this church thrive. He understands the area that we're in, the culture, and therefore he is willing to work. And that's, again, what we need also. I'm saying, as an Edwards thought, within a few weeks, we will probably have the decision. From that person, we should have the decision to move forward. After Wednesday night, we will know the next meeting. And then, of course, it'll be coming close, coming into the church.
And for the potential pastor, that God would bring it all together, and soon we would have our new senior pastor. We come to the Lord's Supper. It's one of the most important times in the church. And I think we need to understand that when you come to the Lord's table, though today it looks different, today you picked up your elements, there's no Lord's Supper table, the deacons are not going to service because of the state of affairs that we're in, but it's still the Lord's Supper. It's still his table. And he is present. He is here. This is an ordinance he established. And so when we partake of the Lord's Supper, it is an incredible responsibility and an incredible privilege. If you take your Bibles and turn to Luke 22, I want to read to you one of the accounts of the institution of the Lord's Supper by Jesus himself. We'll begin with verse 14. I am reading out of the New King James Version because I just think it sounds more like the Lord's Supper in the New King James Version, okay? When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, "With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." He took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Some translations have the word broken, where I read the word given. The New King James has the word given. It's important that it be given, because the prophecies in the Old Testament say that Jesus Christ's bones were not broken. So a sign that he was the Messiah. Jesus had no bones broken. The thieves had their bones broken, but not Jesus. His body was given for us. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table." Now, I want us to look at this event like it really happened. Already, what has happened is the men have come into the room, they have prepared the room, and they were standing around, and there was no servant to wash their feet. And John 13 says that Jesus took off his outer robe and washed the feet of the disciples. They didn't understand. The Messiah, Jesus, was going to be arrested later that night. And they don't understand servanthood. They don't understand humility. And Jesus tells them at the end of it, "What you have seen me do, you do." And then Dr. Luke says that the one who is going to betray him is at the table with me. And verse 23 says, "And they began to question among themselves which of them it was who would do this thing." They had no idea who was the fraud. Some even ask, "Is it me?" Verse 24 says, "Now there was a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest." Jesus had just washed their feet, and this dispute was going on before they got there and after. And Jesus gives them another lesson on being servants. And then he tells them, this is incredible, that at that very night, and we all remember Peter, but he says in the passage in Matthew and here that they all would deny him. And of course we have the account of Peter. He denied him three times. And then the rooster crowed. Now, why would I bring all this up? Because, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to see, when Jesus picked 12 men to follow him, they were human beings just like you and I. And they had been with Jesus for 3 years, and they were clueless as to what was really going on. And they were clueless until the resurrection. What this does for us is I want to talk about the issue of grace. We come to this table, we come to this supper because of the grace of God. We come as men and women who doubt sometimes, who waver sometimes, who really don't have a clue sometimes. We are not here because we deserve it. We are not here because we are good. We are not here Because of anything we have done, we are at the Lord's table as a welcome guest because of the overwhelming grace of Jesus Christ and the Father. We are here by grace. Now let's talk about the Lord's Supper. It expresses the grace of Christ by reminding us of the grace he has given to the universe. We must remember his death because it's the most important death in history. Darren Sproul wrote, and it's a credible statement, God's grace, or grace is God's decision to outlast every attempt to avoid him, to outdistance our attempts to run from him, and to outweigh our stubbornness in resisting him. God's grace doesn't merely offer to make us better. It promises to make us new. Grace is God's decision to outlast our every attempt to avoid him. He makes us brand new. That's God's grace. Ladies and gentlemen, in the midst of our humanity and in the midst of all those times, we have broken God's heart. His grace has wrapped us in his love, and he has accepted us because that's who he is. And then this supper proclaims God's grace because it proclaims his death. He died for us. I don't think I ever want to lead a church in the ordinance of the Lord's Supper without absolutely holding up his death. We proclaim his death until he comes. We are saying we believe that because of the grace of God, he died for us. And because he died for us and rose again, we can come to him in this grace and be saved forever and spend eternity in heaven. That is mind-boggling. Steve often tells me he's not afraid to die because he knows where he's going. That's more than just a statement. That's a fact. That is a fact. I heard a man say, death does not frighten me. Dying is what I'm worried about. I want to tell you something, folks. How we die is God's decision. Our days are numbered. Our steps are numbered. There are no surprises to God. God's not going to get up some morning and open the newspaper in heaven and find out you died. He doesn't have to read the obituaries. He knows. And precious in his sight. But the reason it's precious in his sight is because he knows the value of a human being, and he knows that it took the blood of Jesus to purchase eternity for you and for me. And when we come to this supper, we're proclaiming, I believe I'm going to spend eternity in heaven because of the cross of Jesus Christ. I proclaim his death as my life. Amen? A lot of people are afraid these days. And perfect love casts out fear. I don't think it's God's will that we walk around in fear. I think it's God's will that we walk around in faith. And in basking in the love of Jesus Christ. We do not face any pandemic alone. And that leads me to the third thing about God's grace. God's grace is so wonderful. Not only did he come, and not only did he die, and not only has he saved us, but he's still with us. He's present. He's still working in our lives. He still cares about us. And when we come to the Lord's table, we are not only proclaiming his death, but we're doing it until he returns. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ is present today. He will be present in your life. And as you pause in a moment and we eat the bread and we drink the fruit of the vine, and as we remember and celebrate him, he will come to you and he will make himself real to you, and it will be a special encounter with the living Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, who cares if he's resurrected if he's not present? He's alive, and that's wonderful, but I'm glad he's not alive and only in heaven. I'm glad he's alive and on this planet with us. You can experience him. And I hope you do, even if you're at home and you're doing crackers and grape juice or lemonade or Kool-Aid. It's a symbol. But it's a symbol of the body and blood of Jesus, who's so gracious that he will want to spend time with us. Most people agree that even though the priest is a fraud, maybe, the bread a tasteless wafer, the wine not wine at all, but it tempers grape juice, most people believe the one who comes to this outlandish meal in faith may find there something to feed his deepest hunger and may feel stirring within himself a life even more precious, more urgent, and more near than his own. We observe the Lord's Supper because he told us to. We observe the Lord's Supper because it is a special time when we encounter the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I read a sermon that I wrote and I didn't remember. And the title of it was, Wear Sandals. So I saw it on my computer, and I didn't remember it at all. And I went to it, and I thought, why in the world would I preach a sermon called Wear Sandals? Or I could have said flip-flops or anything else. You know why? Every once in a while, Jesus will tell us to take off our shoes, because we're standing on holy ground. He told Moses that, didn't he? Take off your shoes, you're on holy ground. And I want to tell you something. The sermon wasn't that good. But the truth is this. When you come to the Lord's table, you're coming to holy ground. No matter where you are, or what you're doing, or where you're sitting, or who's talking, or who's handing it out, or no one, when you take of the Lord's Supper that bread and juice, you're on holy ground. You're in the presence of the Lord Jesus. So if you'll turn to 1 Corinthians, we'll now partake of the Lord's Supper. I hope you have. Is there anybody here who did not pick up elements at the door? Everybody have their elements? You don't have one? Could somebody? Here comes some. I am reading from 1 Corinthians 11, and here's how we're going to do it. I'll read a passage of Scripture, and then I will pray, and we'll take the bread, and then we'll read another Scripture and pray, and we'll take the juice, okay? So if you have one of these, you just open it up, and the bread will be there on top if it opens correctly. Okay. Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you.'" Father, we thank you for this symbol of your body that you gave for us willingly. It was your grace. It was your love for us. And Father, the Bible says you were compelled to that cross. And we are so grateful. And we just ask you to reveal yourself to us today as we partake of this bread. In Jesus' name, amen. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." Let's pray. Father, we sing songs about how we are cleansed in your blood. And we know, Lord, that's a metaphor for your death, burial, and resurrection. The redemptive acts of God. Father, we're so grateful that your blood was shed. We're so grateful that you were raised from the dead. We're so grateful that you're returning. And we thank you. And we thank you, Lord, that even through this time in our lives, you walk through this with us. And you are here. Thank you for your sacrifice and your grace and your love. "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The Bible says that after they had this Lord's Supper, then they went, sang a hymn, and went to the garden. And there again, the very humanity of the disciples came out. Folks, I want to just say two things about that. They fell asleep. Number one, God knows we're dust. And he loves us anyway. Nowhere in the story does it say God gave up on us. He will never. Even in our weaknesses and all the things that we bring to the table, he is so loving and forgiving. He never gives up on us. So therefore, we should be humble, and we should also accept the humanity of others. That's what the church is all about. We all come here as flawed people in love with Jesus, trying to serve him the best we can in his grace. Amen. We're going to sing for our hymn as we close out the service. We'll sing the hymn and then I'll come and close the service. Jesus paid it all. What a song. What a truth. And what a way to end the service. Would you stand with us, please, in honor of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, if you physically can. What a day. Will you be seated for just a second? I have something I must say. Our nation is in a time of civil unrest because of racism. Now, I want you to understand, racism isn't new. And racism didn't begin in America, and it didn't begin with whites and African Americans or any others. It began with the Jewish nation. And I want you to understand, the people who have been most hurt by prejudice have been the Jews, and I can trace it through history for you if you don't remember Germany and so forth. As a matter of fact, ladies and gentlemen, racism is going to be the cause of the final war in the world because people hate Israel so much that God will have to come and defend them. Racism is from Satan. Racism is unacceptable. Racism is straight from hell. And we are all equal. And so I want to ask Jerry to come here in a moment and pray for our country and come and pray for all those who have been victimized by racism and ask God to heal our land and ask God to heal our hearts. And bring peace, but bring equality and love among all races, please. And then the service will be over when you're done.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Father, we come to you today with a little bit of heavy hearts. Father, I pray that everyone who listens to this, Father, knows that we have value because we are made in your image. Father, you did not give that distinction to any animal. You gave us as human beings. Father, we know you don't see color because Jesus died for everybody. Father, I pray that as we go throughout the day, the leaders would look to you first and foremost to see how to handle this. Father, I pray that love, mercy, and grace would be abounding in this United States. Father, we thank you for the grace, the love, the mercy that you have given us. Father, may we perpetrate the same as we come upon other people. Father, may what we say, what we think, what we do be honoring to you. In Christ's holy name, amen.